Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. This is where we look at various nutrition and fitness-related topics through the lens of application. We want to give you practical takeaways so that you can create your healthiest, best self backed by knowledge. Now, onto the episode with your host, Coach Lisa.
Hello, and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life Podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with Casey Jo Orvidas. She is the creator of the Health Mindset Certification. She's the owner of KJO Coaching. She has a PhD in psychology with a major in behavior change, and she's also a certified fitness and nutrition coach. I'm super excited to talk to you today, Casey. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Awesome. Well, I have a ton of questions to ask you and to get into, but I do want our listeners to kind of know how you got to where you are today, what prompted you to create the beautiful Health Mindset Certification, and just in general with your coaching, how you got to where you are.
Yeah, so like, how far back do we want to go here? I fell in love with health and fitness for myself and mainly strength training when I was in college. And when I was in college, I was studying psychology and sociology and was essentially assuming that I was going to go down the route of more like forensic science and criminology and that sort of area of psychology. I did a lot of research in jails and prisons. And like I said, at the same time, it was kind of falling in love with health and fitness for myself. And when it came down to it, and I had to essentially choose like what direction I wanted to go for my career, although all my experience thus far had been in, again, like jail and prison systems, I was really curious to learn more about health and fitness from a psychological perspective. It felt like so much of my life got better when I was quote unquote dedicated. I don't really love that word, but dedicating myself to a healthier, just like more fit lifestyle. And it really bled over into so many other areas of my life. And I really started to wonder why more people weren't doing it. Why do so many people know they need to eat healthy and exercise and they aren't doing it? It's not a knowledge problem. Like people are very aware of the benefits, right? So it really felt like this was a psychology issue. And when I wanted to start exploring career options and where I was going to go with my PhD in psychology, now that I've had like the research experience, I could kind of open myself up to a lot of different pathways. And I came across a program at NC State University. It was a social and community psychology program, but there was one specific faculty member, Dr. Jenny Burnett. She became my PhD advisor, but she was doing research on mindsets, and I didn't know anything about mindset as a science before. And in fact, I mean, this was 2015. It wasn't really all the rage as it is now. If you see on social media, people talking about mindset, I feel like everywhere you turn. So at the time I was like, sure, like what's this? But it sounds like behavior change. And she was doing a lot of research on how we label obesity and what that means for our mindset and therefore our health behaviors. And that really intrigued me. And I thought like, okay, well, maybe this mindset stuff is an answer to that question as to why people aren't doing this more, even though they know that it should. So I fell in love with Raleigh, North Carolina, and really enjoyed my interviews during that process and decided to take the jump and go that route. I interviewed at a few other schools too that were doing health behavior change research, but for some reason that just felt like the right path for me to go, which is so funny because now, like looking back on that today, like everything I do is mindset science focused. And at that time in 2015, I wasn't even really aware of like what that was. It just seemed like intriguing to me. So yes, fast forward, I got my PhD in 2019. During my PhD, I was also a nutrition coach. So I was sort of in the lab doing some of this behavior change research and then also taking what I've learned like in real time into the wild and applying that in a one-on-one fitness coaching capacity. So I didn't really see myself as being a nutrition coach after getting a PhD in psychology, but I knew that I wanted to intertwine those worlds somehow. So I started, like I said, as a coach myself, and then eventually built out a coaching team. So I'm not doing a lot of the fulfillment of the services at this point. It's the coaches that I've mentored who work with me on my team that do a lot of that at this point. But we do health and fitness coaching with a very, very strong backbone of evidence-based mindset, psychology, and behavior change strategies with our clients. So I did that. And then from there, I knew that I wanted to do something just to impact more people and like really be able to get this information out there. The best way to do that is to talk to coaches, because every coach has a handful of clients. So what I can do with my coaching team doesn't even touch the ability of what I could do if I was to mentor other coaches who then had their own set of clients. So that's where the Health Mindset Coaching Certification was born. The first round is in the fall of 2020. So now we are in 2024, and we've had, I think we're in our eighth round at this point. So we've done 2 enrollments per year since then, and have certified over 600 coaches at this point, which is so cool. And yeah, so that's kind of where we're at now. We are still like dual armed in the business as far as one-on-one health and fitness coaching company goes, and then also having the certification company. So kind of speak to 2 separate audiences in that case, but everything is very fitness and mindset focused altogether.
Awesome. Thank you for providing that background. And I have been in the space, in the nutrition coaching space, since 2019. And even within that time, I can truly tell that much more of an emphasis is going towards mindset. But unfortunately, also, like you say, you know, often just thrown around that term here and there, and like people don't actually have a clue. So I love that you're really working on, you know, where can I start really bringing the coaches up and getting to the bottom of it there. But you already really paved the way quite nicely for my very first question, which was going to be, why is it so hard for us to change something? I mean, that's like the $1 million question, to change something, even though we know something might not be good for us, or even though we want something so, so bad, like we really want to lose weight or whatever, but somehow we're not making the change. Like, why is that?
So many reasons. It's so many reasons. And yeah, that is the golden question, right? The whole, I know what I need to do, I just can't seem to do it type of thing. And we hear that all of the time. And I wish that there was an easy answer for that, but it really is going to be dependent on the person and the context, that person's like previous experiences, things that feel good to them, things that feel bad to them. I mean, we can go down the route of like self-sabotage, which is ultimately what this is, right? Is what we're talking about, right? Like you can't do the things that you know you need to do because you're getting in your own way is really what it comes down to. And so I am incredibly biased when I say this, but I do think a lot of it ties back to mindset. And people listening to this might be like, okay, yeah, sure. But like, what does that even like mean? What does that look like? That's not really like something you can grasp. It doesn't like really make sense just like off the bat. But ultimately your mindset is the lens that you're taking to see the world with. It's how you're assigning meaning to things. It's how you're making sense of things, making things important or not important. So when we break it down from there, we can really see that the difference between someone who has a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And that's kind of like my bread and butter. That's what all of my research has been in, is this growth versus fixed mindset idea. And if you have a fixed mindset, it essentially means that you don't really believe in your ability to change. So if we're talking from a health and fitness perspective, you want to cultivate a healthier lifestyle, you want to lose weight, you want to feel better on a day-to-day basis. If you don't actually believe that that's something that you're capable of doing, you're going to continue to run into wall after wall after wall. And I have found over the decade in the coaching space, almost at this point, like 9 years, geez, I have learned that it seems like it's very clear that it does always come back to mindset in some capacity. And I think a lot of times it is labeled differently. Like you may hear victim mindset or all or nothing thinking. A lot of times this stuff, pretty much always, not even a lot of times, boils back down to having a fixed mindset and not truly believing that you can change, or believing in yourself, you know, like a negative self-belief. We hear that a lot too, or just like self-limiting beliefs in general. So with that said, how do you change then if this is potentially the reason why you have been unable to thus far? And a large part of that comes down to just becoming more aware of where your fixed mindset currently stands, and just getting a better idea of where your mindset is, just at a baseline level, because I think that's something that, again, people hear me say, okay, yeah, sure, it's mindset, here we go again. But do you even really know where your mindset sits at a baseline? And paying attention to some of the things that you say to yourself, that you say to other people. The number of times I have heard, I'm just not the type of person to track macros. I have never been someone who enjoys exercise. Like, all of those statements are fixed mindset statements. If you don't see yourself as the type of person who can do this, if you don't see yourself as someone who could adopt these types of behaviors, good freaking luck actually doing it. And you won't even realize that it's holding you back. And I think that that's the hardest part about all of this, is that those fixed mindset thoughts, that the way that it is directing you and keeping you from doing things or making you do other things, people don't necessarily realize that it's coming from a place of your mindset. They just instead say something like, I don't know why I can't stick with it. Like, this doesn't make any sense with me. I don't know. I know this is something that I want. Why can't I do it? And whenever I hear that, I'm just kind of like, it's like alarm bells in my head that there's something off from a mindset perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree from my coaching experience as well. And like, even personally speaking, I think I spent probably the first 25 years or so of my life in a fixed mindset, very much so, because I would say things like, I'm not good at maths, or I'm not good with technology, I'm not good at with XYZ, instead of, this is something I'm working on, or it's not something I'm good at yet, or I'm not passionate about XYZ, you know, whatever. Just, I would live with those labels, and only mm-hmm. through like reading more books, for instance, I think it's Mindset by Carol Dweck, is it? I believe one of the books that where she talks a lot about fixed versus growth mindset, etc. You know, very eye-opening. And now also I've become very attuned to that kind of client talk when someone does say things like, oh, everyone in my family is big boned, or I always gain weight over the holidays, or like whatever, those kind of things where you can, like, oh, hang on, like, let's think through this just a moment. But yeah, it's so hard to see that when, like, even if you are aware of like what's a growth, what's a fixed mindset, but it's so hard when you've had that dialogue with yourself for 30, 40, 50, whatever years, like you don't hear it anymore. It's like you read a paper that you wrote 10 times and you don't see the mistakes in there anymore. You need to gain some distance, or you need to gain someone else's perspective. So I guess, yeah, talking about that in the sense of coaching then, as a coach, like, how do you approach that? Or how do you rewire that mindset with your client?
I think, again, a big first step is like helping them become more aware without directly telling them. Like, nobody is going to respond well if you say, hey, what you just said, that means you have a fixed mindset. We got to work on that. You know, nobody's going to be willing to take that. So, and if they do, like, that's great. They probably have more of a growth mindset than you realize. But most people would be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? You know, especially because they're not aware of it. So we don't want to do that either. So how I kind of teach inside the Health Mindset Coaching Certification is first, like, helping our clients become more aware through asking questions. And I think one of the biggest things that I want students to take away from, and just like coaches in general, is to ask more questions rather than making assumptions or jumping to conclusions. Because especially once you get into some of this stuff, it becomes very obvious to you as the coach what might be going on from a psychological perspective. But we don't want to make those assumptions, and we really, really, really want the clients to come to that conclusion on their own. So asking questions around like, oh, like, I heard you say this about your abilities or the type of person that you think you are. Do you think that that impacts your ability to make changes? Like, I'm totally just curious, like, hear me out for a second. And it's kind of going in that direction. I also tell students too, that they can often, like those that have gone through the certification, lean on that too and say, So I went through the health mindset coaching certification. I am a certified health mindset coach at this point. So I am seeing some things that come up for me from a mindset perspective. Would you mind if I share them? I'd love to see like your perspective. So kind of asking permission to share that and not just like diving into it. Because once you do get someone who says like, yeah, sure, like I'm really willing to grow. I want to know more. Like, tell me what you see type of thing. Now they're bought in at least. So even if it, you do come across as like, oh, well, I'm kind of seeing a fixed mindset statement here. They at least accepted that they wanted to hear it, right? So that at like a baseline level, like more questions is always going to be helpful and like really see it as like a, you don't know the client as well as you may think you do. So spending some more time like getting to know and just like really seeking to understand rather than making assumptions, especially those coaches out there who have been doing this for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it can be really hard because you're like, I've seen it all. I've seen so many clients and so many of them are struggling with the same thing. So it can be hard not to make those assumptions, but that's the place we really want to operate from. And from there too, I think a big part of it is just like in some way, for lack of a better phrase, like diagnosing the self-sabotage. Where is it actually stemming from? Because for every single person, it's going to look different. So spending some time looking into like, is this a self-control thing? Is it a habit thing? Is it an environment thing? Is it a social circle thing? Is it a motivation thing? Is it a goal setting thing? Like most likely there's a little sprinkle of probably a few of those in there, but that's why in the certification too, we go through each of those in like separate modules, essentially, so you can learn this backbone of what, why people change or do not change really. There's also, you know, without getting too much into the weeds, we talk a lot about different models of behavior change and well-validated theories that have been around for a long time in the research that just like don't make their way into the health and fitness coaching space, which is just like crazy to me, but that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we know after, like I said, like decades of research, like why someone may or may not change and like their motivation to do so or not do so. So picking up on some of those theories and then being able to lay that on top of like what we know about this client can really be helpful as far as direction goes.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And in regards to your first point about listening better, or yeah, I think, I mean, that's so helpful for any relationship, whether that's client coach, whether that's with your mom, whether that's with your partner, and not making any assumptions. I think that's so key because often we hear something and we portray it onto ourselves, or like, you know, the client might be complaining and you're taking that on as an, oh, I as a coach didn't do my job. And that's really not what they're saying. They might just be frustrated with something completely different going on in their life. And what I sometimes find helpful also is just saying, just basically repeating back to them or paraphrasing back to them what you just heard. So like, mm-hmm. to me, it sounds like you're saying X, Y, Z, or I just heard, did I hear that correctly with you saying X, Y, Z? And then often you get them to confirm that, or they just say like, no, I actually didn't mean it at all like that. I meant it completely different. And it's just for clarity's sake, or they get reflecting themselves as well, because before that they might just have said whatever first thing came to their mind. So yeah, I totally agree. Like listening more and paraphrasing or just asking more questions overall, definitely a very helpful communication skill, no matter what.
Yeah, for sure. I really like that, like the reflective listening and like summarizing a lot of the time. And that's really, those are two big components of motivational interviewing. I don't know how like familiar you are. It kind of sounds like you might be. And that can be, like you said, so helpful in any relationship. But how much better does it feel after someone, you're, even if you think to yourself, like if you were to tell someone a story, something that made you upset, and then they, at the end, instead of being like, this is what you should do to feel better, or this is what you should do to fix it, they were like, okay, let me get this straight. This is what I'm hearing. This is how you're feeling. This is what happened. Am I on the right track here? And yes, they may say like, no, this is actually how I feel about this. And like, that is excellent information and very clear where your assumptions may not actually be correct and why we shouldn't be making assumptions. But yeah, all in all, how much better it feels for someone to be like, okay, I really want to try to hear and understand you. Does this sound correct? Before they maybe start asking more questions or asking, hey, would you mind if I share some ideas? And they may be like, oh my God, yes, that's why I'm telling you this. Or they may be like, no, I just like wanted to vent and just like share that with you, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think as coaches, we have the tendency to go into fixing mode. And that, I mean, in any situation, even with a friend or so, they might be telling you something about their relationship. And straight away, you might be saying, hey, you should have you tried this and that. But often people just want us to listen, to be there, and to they just want to feel understood and heard. Of course, yes, as our as one of our jobs as a coach is also to guide and to ask the right questions so that they do see their own path. But I think, yeah, quite often not switching into that fixing mode is actually really challenging, like holding yourself back. I don't know what it's like for mm-hmm. you in other situations, like in a personal life, but for me, definitely so often in a personal life, if my girlfriend tells me something or something else, I might just say like, oh, you should, nope. Yeah, I'm just there for you. I'm just holding space, you know?
Yeah.
Very difficult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about the coach's responsibility here now in that coach client relationship. What would you say for the listeners that are clients? What would you say are some of the quote unquote responsibilities from a client if they want the maximal results and best results from a coaching interaction?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's funny. I feel like probably where you and I are, our perspective is coming from, it's like the coach needs to be taking more responsibility always, because unfortunately, the majority of the health and fitness industry, as far as coaching goes, it's very much like placing the responsibility on the client to see results. Whereas I think you and I have a very similar perspective of like, actually, there's a lot that the coach could be doing and most coaches aren't doing, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean that the client doesn't have any responsibility either. Where we've been making a lot of examples of like how this could be seen in a relationship with your mom, with a significant other, with a friend. And it's the same thing. This is a coaching relationship. So if you think about it, what is your relationship with what is your responsibility in a relationship with a friend, with a coworker, with your boss, with your mom, with your romantic partner? You have just as much responsibility to show up in that relationship and to make it flourish as the other person does. It's the same thing in a coach to client relationship too. So while yes, the coach has all of the nutrition and fitness knowledge, you have all of the knowledge when it comes to like what's really going to work best for you, what feels good, what works with your lifestyle, what your schedule is, what your relationships look like. And the coach does not have that information. Again, it's often a misstep of coaches to assume that they know what your life is all about and they know what you're going to need. But the reality is, like, you actually have that information, and it is your responsibility to be open and honest and share those things with your coach and essentially give them the material, the data that they can then take in order to coach you the best. So I think the biggest responsibility of the client is to share to your, obviously to your comfort level, but as much as you can, like share. It's always the more information, the more data that we can get, the better. And obviously if you feel like you're oversharing, or if you're like giving them information that may not be super pertinent, you can always ask and say like, hey, I know that I'm just trying to give you everything that you need, but if there's ever anything that doesn't feel like it's actually helpful, let me know. And I don't need to share that. Or ask your coach, is there something else I could be sharing with you in order to make your life easier to coach me? Like, I can tell you every single coach would love to get that question. Like, what else can I be doing to contribute to the relationship to make this more successful for me and for the coach, right? So I think that that's like the biggest thing. And I think that's the thing that's missed the most too, is a lot of clients do then place the responsibility on the coach to like get them results, when the reality is like that they do have responsibility for that, but they can only do so much based on like what you put in, you know? So like the input needs to match the output that you're looking for.
Yeah, totally. I love all the points that you're saying. And we have a kind of like global client base. You probably do as well, but I find it so interesting also how it's different from client to client in the different nations. So I've, for instance, had quite a few clients in the Middle East as well. So like Dubai and that kind of area. And I find the level of respect is incredibly high there, but also the, oh, I don't want to talk about like things like boundaries or like your period or whatever. Like if someone for the first time, they might bring that up. I didn't go to the bathroom so well last week. I'm sorry if this is too much information. I'm like, no, tell me.
No, bring it on. Yeah.
Yeah. So very, very different. I found like certain things like that, where, you know, people are naturally more open. And of course you have like individuality with that as well. But I also say like, especially in the first few months, the more information, usually the better. And I love that question that you just mentioned. I've never heard that. And, you know, as someone who also has coaches myself, I'm gonna employ that as well. How can I be a better, what information can I, you know, add in order to make it easier for you as a coach? But yeah, I'd love to get into like a couple of very specific examples when it comes to yeah, just applicable, I guess, mindset coaching, for lack of a better word. But let's say you and your client, you have determined that every week she is overeating on a Friday night because she's had a really stressful week. And she knows like there's no way she can minimize the workload that she has at work or at home. And she knows that this is just an outlet for her to like feel better once a week in this kind of way. Well, how would you tackle that with her? Like you've come to that stage where you know, that initial period where you talked about why is this happening, et cetera, is going on. And she's basically said, okay, so what do I do now? I still have the stress. I still need to deal with it. Food is the only thing that brings me joy. What do I do?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good setup. I do think a little bit of background on what stress can do from a self-control perspective, which I think is really important to understand. Stress and self-control are essentially enemies in a lot of ways. So for like a quick neuroscience lesson, where your self-control lives is in your frontal lobe. It's the big lobe directly behind your forehead. That's where we're talking like attention to detail, deliberate decision making. Also a lot of like your growth mindset kind of lives in that area of your brain, and your ability to exert self-control. And your stress like response lives in an entirely different spot of your brain. It's more in like your midbrain region. This is a lot of just like your automatic behaviors, your habitual actions. So when we're stressed, we tend to go to that midbrain region, and that's where a lot of our habits, unhealthy or otherwise, do live. So it can become very easy when we're diverting our literal mental resources away from the frontal cortex and into the midbrain region to just fall back on these automatic behaviors, these things that are just like easy and kind of reduce the amount of energy that you have to use because they are habitual, they're automatic, they're things that we've done before. So we'll rely on those things in times of stress. So hearing this, it probably makes a lot of sense for those of you who are listening. When you're stressed out, it's much easier to just like do the easiest thing for you. And a lot of times those things aren't the healthiest behaviors. So it can be really helpful to explain to a client why in stressful situations it could be harder to exert self-control. And what we need to be careful with here is that it's not turning into like a slippery slope of a fixed mindset. Because if we say, hey, this is how your brain is wired, that can be very much taken as, okay, well, this is how my brain works. What am I supposed to do about that? I'm stuck like this, right? And the reality is your brain is constantly changing. There's something called neuroplasticity. We know this exists. Your brain is constantly making new connections, pruning back old connections that you're not really using anymore. So it may feel like a lot of friction at first and feel like awkward, uncomfortable, not natural at first, but you can change the pathways in your brain. So you can change what becomes that more habitual automatic action in times of stress. It just requires a lot more effort and energy at the forefront. But over time, the more reps you get in, the more times you're trying to do that, the more likely you are to carve that new path and make it more of a automatic thing. So I like to explain that so people kind of like understand like, hey, this is harder for you because you're human And that's like, that's just part of it. It really is like a safety mechanism in a way, because, you know, back in caveman, cavewoman days, if we were stressed out, it's usually because we were, I don't know, running from a saber-toothed tiger, like trying to like literally survive. So it was in our best interest to conserve energy and do the things that are easiest, most automatic, and the thing that we've done before. So we really do need to like fight against that a little bit. And it is going to be challenging, but it is possible to change the way that you maneuver in these situations. So with that client, I think I would first start by having a discussion around this and like see how she responds to that, because that can also make a big difference. If some clients, you know, may say, okay, yeah, like I get that, but I don't know if I'm cut out for it still. But other clients may be like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, tell me more and how I can change the pathways in my brain. And you could hear the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset there. And then how you respond to that client would be different depending on how they, what they say.
Awesome. Well, I love that you're not just tackling it from like an action point of view, but also like the understanding, because I do think that that often, like a lot of people's brain, mine included, is wired that way, that we would like to know the why and the how and, you know, the mechanism behind it. So yeah, really appreciate that. And one more scenario that I'd like to throw at you. So in the more in the sense of self-sabotage, again, a client, you kind of develop or determine that every week she plans ahead so well, like she meal preps, she enters her stuff into her her food diary, everything else. And then oftentimes, at least once or twice a week or so, she doesn't quote unquote feel like eating what she planned for, or she just like gets carried away when other people are saying, hey, let's go out and eat and whatever. And that one day like really quite derails her or makes her progress stall. And she's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm pre-planning my meals. I love my meals actually, but somehow I can't stick with them consistently. So how do we tackle that self-sabotage hurdle here?
Yeah, I think number one, validating how someone's feeling is always a great idea. And that's kind of what I was getting at too, with like the self-control and the stress too. It's like, hey, how you're feeling is normal. So I think validating this too and saying like, hey, when you're in different situations, it is going to change how you feel and make it harder for you. You're also going to have times where you're like, I do normally like to eat this, but I just like, I'm not feeling it today. Like, you're human, but let's think about what are some strategies and things we can do maybe to set you up for more success in those situations. And also in those situations, make you feel more confident that you can make a decision that's right for you. And note, decision that's right for you may not be the decision that's like on plan in that moment. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to go off plan every once in a while. It's okay if you're like, you know what, I am making this conscious decision to have another drink and to have some more fries, even though I know I'm probably over my macros for the day or whatever it is. But it's just what I really feel like I want to do this in the moment. It's going to make me happy. I'm hanging out with my friends. Like, I understand that I may not feel the best about it tomorrow, but I'm making this conscious decision to do so. And then I'll just get back on track tomorrow. So having that like quick conversation with yourself can be really helpful. And something I like to do, and I kind of just like showcased minimally, is playing out the script. So in these situations, or like in preparation for these situations, thinking about all of the different directions and things and where it could go, and then how we were going to feel after the fact. So you chose to eat more and drink more in that moment. What happens? How do you feel the next day? How do you feel the next week? How do you feel next weekend? How do you feel immediately after or during, right? And then if you choose not to, how do you feel? What does that look like for you the next day, the next week, whatever? And so really just be able to see like, what is this decision going to look like for me? How is it actually going to play out in either direction? And really try to be mindful and sit with that and sit with those feelings, because it can make all of the difference. You could say, you know what, the little bit of guilt that I'm going to get tomorrow, I'm thinking about it now, I'm really feeling it, and it's fine. I'll be okay. I don't do this that often. It's worth it to me, right? Whereas in other situations, it may be like, I've done this the last two weekends in a row. So now that I'm thinking about it, like, it's really not that worth it to me. That extra drink's not going to really like do a whole ton for me. Like, I'm feeling pretty good with the one drink I already had. Like, I'm really not hungry. Like, I don't need to eat anymore. So I feel really good about the decision to just like sit here, finish my current drink and like be done for the day. But it's really hard to do that if you're not weighing the options in front of you. And also, like, humans in general like autonomy. We are really motivated to do things that make us feel autonomous, like we feel like we're in control, in charge, and making our own decisions. And so giving yourself and presenting yourself with these two different options and knowing that you are in control and you get to decide really does help people make the decision and feel good about the decision, whichever one they decide to choose. So that's like one example of a skill, a strategy that could be used in those situations. And as a coach, that's something you can like work with clients through in preparation for certain things. Like, hey, you're going to a wedding this weekend. I know you're a little bit worried about what this is going to look like as far as your health and fitness goals. Let's talk about it. Like, what are the biggest barriers that are going to come up? The biggest things that are going to get in the way? And like, what decision points do you think you're going to have to be faced with? And like, have those conversations beforehand too, because the more you can do that, the more salient and accessible it's going to be in the moment. And again, not require as many mental resources to have to like make a decision. What should I do in the moment? Because you've already talked about it. It's already there. It's already kind of like imprinted in your brain, if you will.
That's super cool. And yeah, this concept, one of my first mentors, it was more in the sense of emotional well-being that I worked with her. And she got me to do this exercise, which I think you called scripting as well. But for her, it was more like, hey, Lisa, I know you're anxious about going home and seeing your family. Why don't you script out the best case scenario? What's going to happen? So we worked more with the ideal setting, but I actually like the aspect of going through all the various scenarios, because of course, ideally we would always say like, oh, I'm going to stick with my 2-drink limit. And then nobody else minds if I'm having my salad and da, da, da. Mm-hmm. But then also saying like, okay, what happens if this person, if my friend Becky, who always wants everyone to eat pizza and she's going to order appetizers for the table, what happens if she pushes the nachos in my way and says, hey, Lisa, here's your favorite, you know, type of thing. So I really like going through all these different scenarios. I think it can totally help also with preparation, because then you have a plan in place for all situations. Before we round this off, because I do want to make sure I'm respecting your time, I would just love to hear your perspective on what people can do on a regular or almost daily basis to embrace a growth mindset more. You always hear like, oh, do more hard things. You know, that's something to get you to grow more, blah, blah, blah. But what would be something small that someone can do on a regular basis? Doesn't have to be daily, but regular basis to grow, to challenge themselves.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's funny, you're making me think of like content around the idea of like, do more hard things. Like, that's how you gain a growth mindset. And like, sure, proving to yourself that you can do hard things is great, but that really doesn't have to be like the main route. In fact, it really is probably more impactful if you're just going about your day with the normal little things that are happening all of the time and trying to shift your perspective around those things. Like, that's probably going to do more for you than like, I'm going to sign up for a marathon because that's going to help me with my mindset. That's like got David Goggins written all over it. But I think really just paying more attention, right? So like the little things, like when you get an email from a coworker or something and it makes you feel negatively in some type of way, to take a second and go, okay, why am I feeling this way? Where is this stemming from? Where is this coming from? Could this actually mean something different than what I'm making it mean? So like little things like that, wherever you can catch yourself maybe going down a negative thought pattern or seeing that, thinking to yourself, like, that's not something that I could do, or like, oh, that like must be nice for that person, but that's not something I'm capable of. Anytime some of these fixed mindset statements kind of creep up, to in the moment think like, what would be the growth mindset version of this? And even if it doesn't feel like it's something you believe and you're like, okay, well, I could think this way, but that's still, yep, that doesn't really feel like how I actually feel. The more that you do it, it's sort of like a fake it till you'll make it type of thing. But the more you do it, the more it's going to start to feel more natural. And you're also going to see like, oh, wait, it did actually play out in that growth mindset direction. Or just because I did feel that way doesn't mean that I can't do it, you know? So like the more you can just show yourself in these little moments, they really do build up. And over time, you'll notice that like you may actually start to think in a growth mindset direction without having to actually push yourself there.
I love that. And awareness, I mean, we as nutrition coaches know how far that goes, even people just starting to track their food without a particular macro target or calorie target, losing weight. I think it's a similar sort of situation. You just put awareness towards your thoughts and they start changing. So thank you so much for that great recommendation. And yeah, before I let you go, if you want to shout out your social media handles, and once again, everyone go and check out the Health Mindset Certification as well, if you're a nutrition coach, obviously, or a coach of any sort.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to connect with me, I spend most of my time on Instagram. I am on other platforms, but like not really. So if you really want to connect with me, Instagram is the best place to go. I'm Coach Kathy Joe over there. If you're interested in learning more about any of the programs that I mentioned here, you can find everything at either kjocoaching.com or healthmindsetcert.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or share the episode on social. Very much appreciated. You can also follow us on Instagram at Nutrition Coaching and Life, or head to our website, www.nutritioncoachingandlife.com, where we provide more valuable content. Have a wonderful day. Now go out and work on your best self.